Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. So thankful to be on here to share the Word of God. We are walking through the Word of God. So today we're in Genesis 2. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, is I think that's about as far as we're going to get today. Anyway, when I started studying, those are two power-packed passages of Scripture. But we're going to take our time and go through it because we're studying the Word of God. We're not running through it, flying through it. So we're studying the Word of God, and I'm so excited just to be able to do what the Lord has commissioned me to do, what he has told me to do. And so that is my, I'm excited about that. So anyway, let's open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for being our God. We thank you that we know that you are in control, God, no matter what the world is doing, no matter what the climate is, no matter any of that, God, you are in control. And we're so thankful that we serve you, a sovereign God. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for being our help. We thank you for being our refuge and our strength. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that you are our protection. You have allowed the angels to encamp around about us, oh Lord. You're keeping us safe and you're sustaining us during these times, God, and we're so thankful. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, you brought us all through last year, God, and we're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful, Lord. I know the shutdown came around around March, but, Lord, we didn't even know what was looming in January and February of last year. But, God, you knew, but you kept us safe anyway. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we know many have went on to be with you. We know many people have lost loved ones, and people are still losing loved ones, God. And we're asking you to comfort them as only you can, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those families, oh, God, have lost their children, have lost their parents, or whatever the situation, or the parents have lost their parents. God, whatever the situation is, God, we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that they can even ask or think. Lord, we know that you are their Lord, you're just everything to us, and we can't make without you. I know I can't. I can't live without you, and, Lord, I don't even want to try. I thank you for protecting my family, God. I thank you, Lord, how you have kept them, Father, in the name of Jesus, and you keep on keeping them, God. I so glorify you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for all of those who have had to push their way to get out in the mornings to go to work and things like that, and, Lord, how you have kept them safe, Father. Continue to bless. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we glorify you. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let there be peace in this nation, Father. Lord, we know there was the unrest that happened earlier this week, last week, God, but we ask you, Lord Jesus, Lord, just to touch the hearts and minds of people everywhere. Let the heart of the people be changed, God, in the name of Jesus. That's the only time change is going to come is if their heart would be changed and turned toward thee, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let these hearts be turned to you, God. Lord, we ask you, oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we want to just make sure everybody knows that you were in control even then, God. It wasn't new news to you, God. You knew. So, Lord, we ask you to touch, Lord, as only you can, those that even during that unrest and domestic terrorist attack, oh, God. Lord, the families, those that lost loved ones during that time, comfort those families as only you can, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless the family of that police officer, God. We're asking you to bless him, God. He was on duty trying to do what he was supposed to do. But, Lord, he was under attack, God. So we ask you to comfort that family, Lord. And those others that lost their lives during the situation, God, we're asking you to bless. God, we ask you, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping our senators and our House of Representatives and those people that serve this country, Lord. We thank you for keeping them, God. We thank you that no life was lost among them, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Father. Oh, God, we glorify you and we magnify you. Lord, we got some tough days ahead of us, God, but we know that you are in control. And so we're trusting and we're depending on you, God. Lord, we ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. You know what they stand in need of. I may not know, but, Lord, you know every need. And, Lord, you said you would supply according to your riches in glory. by Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you. You said that you are shepherd and we shall not want, so there is no lack in our lives, God. Lord, begin to turn our minds and change our minds and give us wisdom. Give us financial wisdom, God. Lord, that we begin to do things different, Lord Jesus. When we get some money in our hand, it won't burn our hand, and we'll go, maybe we'll save more, God, and we'll strategically invest our money more. We'll do those types of things instead of running and spending on stuff that's going to perish, that doesn't have no value. God, we ask you, Lord, to let us be different. Oh, God, let us learn from this situation that we've been in for the last, the 12 months in March, for the last 10 months. God, bless us that we will learn. Bless us that we are drawing nigh to thee, oh, God, and not drawing farther away from you, but drawing nigh to thee. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we glorify you. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless our first responders, Lord, those, our firemen and our policemen and our healthcare workers. Oh, God, every essential worker, God, we ask you to bless, Father. They've been putting their lives in harm's way for a long time, but, God, we know that you are a keeper. And, Lord, we know that you can continue to keep them. Bless our healthcare workers, oh, God. Strengthen them, oh, God. Sustain them, God. Touch their families, Lord. Bless our military, oh, God, of all branches, God, wherever they're located, Lord, keep them up. Lord, I ask you to give them a spirit of discernment, God. They will be able to discern the enemy all around about them, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, touch our police officers. They won't be so quick to shoot, oh, God, but they will give them a discernment too as well, Lord, and give them wisdom on their for their job, Father, in the name. You know what they need, God. I don't know, but you know. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless families, oh, God, that families will love one another. God, there be peace in the homes, God. Lord, we ask you, oh, God, we thank you. Every court case that's being tried this week, Lord, you know what the outcome should be. You know what the right outcome should be. Let that come. Let that be it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are traveling up and down the highways today, Lord. Let there be traveling mercy, oh, God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise your name. Bless all the pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists and apostles that poured out the word of God that you gave them this morning. Lord, pour back into them, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to bless them as only you can. They've been holding it down, God. Hallelujah, without all the frills and the things that used to go with ministry. Lord, but they've been doing it anyway, God. Lord, bless them and comfort them and keep their families, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless this ministry. Let the word of God go on good ground, oh, God. Lord, that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. We will be willing and obedient, oh, God. We will have faith and works with it. Oh, God, we know there's a need for people. Lord, some people just, they need healing. God, it ain't even got nothing to do with COVID. But, God, they need you, Lord. They need you in the hospital rooms, God. Send your healing virtue in those places, oh, God, and touch each and every one, God. Oh, Lord, bless those that are those that have a funeral homes and stuff. They've been overrun with people, God. Bless them and comfort and keep them as well, God. Strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Bless every funeral that had to be preached just this weekend, oh, God. Touch the families, Lord, as never before. Comfort them, oh, God. Keep them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, somebody's believing you for a miracle. They believe in you for a miracle that they won't be put out of their house, God. Turn the situation around on their behalf, oh, God. Give them favor, God. Hey, send them to where they can get the money, God, to be able to pay their debt, oh, God. Hallelujah. Work a miracle like you did for the widow woman. Lord, will you see begin to fill those pots up? And, Lord, you told her to pay what she owed and then live off the rest. God, we need some miracles like that to come forth today, God. Lord, we need financial miracles, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Lord, we need supernatural debt cancellations to take place, God. But, Lord, don't let us be frivolous when the debt cancellation comes and we'll start spending like we don't have no sin. Lord, we rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. But give us a mind to save, oh, God. Give us a mind to invest. Give us a mind, oh, God, to do better with our finances, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I glorify you. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for so much. Those that are getting the vaccine, oh, God, let it work well with their body types and their chemistries and their blood types, that there will be no side effects that will harm them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. We bless your name and we praise your name. And, God, we ask you, some people were speaking of companionship and husbands. Lord, we rebuke that lonely spirit in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of depression. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that we have no, we don't fear, but we have love and a sound mind, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We rebuke doubt. We rebuke stress. We rebuke anxiety in the name of Jesus. Let there be peace in homes, peace in the mind, peace in the, and you said, Lord, if we would keep our minds stayed on thee, you would keep us in perfect peace. So, Lord, we thank you for perfect peace today. We thank you for our minds being stayed on thee. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we got a different, a level of worship and praise, Lord, that we are offering unto our God. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Hi, Pastor Lisa. Hey, Chico, Chico and oh, Deborah Miller, all of those that are watching, hallelujah. I thank you for being on here, Joanne Lewis and Curtis Mayfield and all of those that are joining in. We thank you for it. We thank you for the just being a part of the broadcast. You know, so we working on this word. We're going to walk through it all year long. We're going through the Bible because we need to study the word of God, because when we have the word of God in us, then we can be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God for you, Lisa. I thank God for you. Thank you for praying for my family. I'm so thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're in Genesis still. We're going to be in Genesis for a while, it looks like. Because anyway, my computer done. Okay, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, look like we're going to be there for a minute. But anyway, so last week, I'll just briefly talk about last week. Last week, we went through chapter 1. We was just in chapter 1. We didn't make it out of there. And so we talked about Jesus, about the light and the Lord creating, starting the creative work that he did in those 6 days. But one thing I want to bring out about today, I've been studying this, and this is more in-depth study, so I'm going to touch it, and I'm not going to stay on it long because it's a more in-depth study, and we would have to really go into some other, get the proper, stuff to do it. But anyway, you know, when Genesis 1 and 1 happened, there was a rebellion in heaven. The Lord told me to say this because he gave it to me twice in prayer, so I'm going for it. And so there was a rebellion in heaven after verse 1. And so, of course, we know Lucifer started cutting up, and I'm going to give a quote from this one particular book. It says in Milton's Paradise of Lost, and it's a book about this whole rebellion. It says the angel Lucifer leads a rebellion against God before the fall of man. Satan and a third of the angels were hurled by God out of heaven. And so I was thinking about that, and that came to my spirit with all the stuff going on this week and the rebellion that went on in Washington. We all saw it. If you didn't see it, you can find it on YouTube or what, or on the news or whatever it was. I'm quite sure. But I'm quite sure everybody has heard about that, or they sat there and witnessed it like, we were sitting there watching it for ourselves. But anyway, there was a rebellion even in heaven that caused a pause in the creation. So I think it says in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, then there's a pause there. There's a separation of time there because God was dealing with the rebellion that was going on in heaven. And what God wanted me to say about that was I was in control then, and I'm still in control now. So don't let us be unnerved by the rebellion and the things that are going that are taking place, because God is in control. And that happened, Sister Dotson, that is what he wanted us to know. And that's why he gave to me. He said, I just want you to tell him I'm in control. Don't let him get too overwhelmed by it. God is in control. He was in control when Satan cut up in heaven, and he threw him out of there. And matter of fact, Jesus said over in Luke, the 10th and the 18th chapter, he said, and this is Jesus talking, he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so this was during the rebellion, and God tossed him out. But he only didn't come out by himself. He took a third of them angels with him. So, I'm trying to say, they're cutting up. So you got one person cutting up. They can take people with them. So that ain't nothing new happening. It was happening even back then. So I just want you to be encouraged to know that God is still in control. And that's what I'm going to touch that and I'm going to move on. That's another in-depth study about that time that went between us. I'm not even going to go into it. But anyway, so we in Genesis, the second chapter. And I do want to say this before I get off of that. Because this is something the Lord gave me when the current administration got into office, because, you know, I was really disturbed about it. But anyway, but the Lord gave me this, and this gave me some peace, and so we went on through these 4 years. But in Psalms 9, 16 through 20, this is what the Lord told me. He said, the Lord is known by his judgment, which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. God is God, and the rest of them are but men. That's what he wanted me to say. So we're going to move on from there. And so I thank the Lord for, you know, just for all that he's doing and how he's keeping us and how he's going to continue to have victory in this situation. But we're going to talk about chapter 2. Now, chapter 2 of Genesis has a whole lot going on in it as well, because you have the seventh day, God rested and sanctified and blessed it. That's what's going on if you read chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And so that's what's going on there. I think I'm going to move this over here because it's going to be better for me. There we go. Not to stay focused on one direction. Okay, how about that? So anyway, so the creation, the seventh day, God rested, sanctified it, and blessed it. So that's what we'll find in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And then we go talk about verse 4 through 15, and we talk about the creation of the earth and man formed. And we are going to talk more about the forming of man, because, you know, as we know in Genesis 1, 26, and let me read it. I'm going to read Genesis 1, 26, 27. Go down here and get it. And so 1 and 26 says, God said, let us, and this is in the Amplified Classic Version. It said, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so at that time, God created our spirit man and our soul. So that was what was created. But God formed the physical man out of the dust of the earth. And so that's what Genesis 2 and 7 says. It says, and the Lord God, and this is Amplified Classic Version still, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living soul. So that is what happened. So we have two different things going on. When he created man and woman, he created them in created us in our image, but he created our spirit and our soul. And so that's why I just believe, now this is me, I believe that all of us was created at that time. We might be back up in there waiting to come down that birth canal. But anyway, that's what happened. And so then our bodies are formed. He formed the body out of the dust of the earth. And then, when the fall of man happened, of course, God said that the rest of us would come through childbirth. Okay, so that's how that kind of happened. But anyway, let's go to it, because we're going to talk about all that today. So then we're talking about, and I'm just going to read this second chapter, and I'm going to start with verse number 4. And there are generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day of the Lord, the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Now I'm not reading out King James. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, it used to come up from the midst of the earth. It didn't come down from heaven. It came up. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And now we're talking about the Garden of Eden from verse 8 to 15. And it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant for sight and good for food. And the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil was in the midst of the garden also. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So the name of the first is Pison, and it is that which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is a bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel. And I think that Hiddekel now is the Tigris, and so it's changed name. But the Tigris River, when I was doing some research, it said the name of it changed to Tigris because they, you know. So anyway, that's just some FYI. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I want to talk about these rivers quickly because, you know, we always hear so much about streams of income. And so they talk a lot about that. And so when they talk about that, they're talking about these streams or these rivers that came into the garden of Eden. And so the rivers in the garden, it says, I'm not sure that okay, so the meaning of those, Pishon means increase. Gihon means bursting forth, and Tigris, which is Hiddekel, means rapid, and Euphrates means fruitfulness. And one thing that may be the note, this is a note that they made, that God specifically had Adam named the Adams, and maybe he was the one that named those particular rivers as well. But anyway, I want to read Psalms 104:13. It says, he waters the mountains from his upper rooms. The earth is satisfied and abounds with the fruit of his works. And so that's why they sometimes allude that those four rivers coming in are fruitful, and that they're fruitful and they multiply, and they are, you know, that we should have that same type of thing coming in to our homes, that fruitfulness, that those rivers, those streams of income, and not just to be dependent upon a job, but to have those streams of income coming in. So the four rivers are both real and symbolic. They portray God as provider of both physical and spiritual benefits. So that's what that's, and I just want to touch on that. I'm not staying there. Anyway, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, oh, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him a helpmate for him. And so we think about that the Lord, in the 16th verse, God gave man the commandment about the tree of good and evil. And the reason why we had the tree is because, like I said, Satan had fallen to earth. He had been thrown out. And so then there's evil present at this time. And so there's so good and evil. So that's why he did. If Adam would have never eaten of the tree, things wouldn't have changed. But because Eve gave to him and he took of it. So the Bible says that, you know, it alludes that Adam died with his bride. And then, of course, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, came and died for his bride on the cross. And so that's referenced in Romans, I believe, if you look at that. And so anyway, so we have the tree of good and evil. But the point I want to make about that, and I'm going to go down here because I got this down here, the Lord God had given the commandment to Adam to not, and I'm not, this ain't no male bashing situation, but he was the one with the commandment. And so this is and then I reference this because this to me makes a point. That's why it is important for us to know the word of God for ourselves and not get secondhand news. Because sometimes if you've ever played a game, I know we played a game one time. I was with that Envision group, Envision Explore, and we played this game where I told them something, and then it went around the room. By the time it got to the room, it was totally different. And so that's why you should know the word of God for yourself. You should read and study the word of God for yourself so that you will know exactly what is going on. And so this is how the deception happened. because if we, I'm probably getting way past myself, but anyway, let me go on. So I said, let me stop here for a minute. Let me do this. They were so. Let me talk about the creation of man, and what God thought about it. Man was created in the likeness of God. He had given him dominion. God formed us from the dust of the earth. God breathed into man, and we became a living soul. Our life and worth comes from God. God's spirit who chose to give us the gift of life. God gave us our gifting and talents as well. They didn't come just because you were who you were. God is the one that gave them to you, so let's keep it in perspective. So when the Lord blesses you to be used by him, you got to give him the glory because he's the one that gave it to you. It's not just because you are who you are. God gave you those things, and so we got to keep that in perspective when we are thinking about that. So then I want to talk about this as well, because we talk about the Hebrew word yatsar means to mold or to squeeze into shape as a porter does, as a potter does. And so Genesis 2:7 and 2:19, when he made the woman, he formed us out of the dust of the ground. And so, and then there's a lot of other scriptures that says the body was formed, but the soul and the spirit, the inner man, were created. So the body, the soul, and the spirit were created, and the body was formed. Because by the time God formed the body, he had already completed his 6 days of work, and he was resting the seventh day. And so when he did this, he wasn't creating man again. He had already created man, soul, and spirit. He just formed them from the dust of the earth. So we got to be clear about that. And so the Lord made all mankind. I think I got things in here twice. So let's go to where. So we're talking about the fall of man at this point. And so I wanted to bring that out because I made a point to say. Then in verse 2:16 it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge and good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat. For in the day that thou eat of it, ye shall surely die. And when so let's think about that death for a minute, because we know that Adam lived to be like, I think, 950 or something like that. And so, but we got to think about it. So what to me, the death was a spiritual death because it was a spiritual death. But also, it also began the decay of the body as well. Because if he would have, like I said, if he would have never ate, nothing would have never changed. But because Adam took of the fruit, then it began to change because Adam was the one that God gave the command. He did not give the commandment to Eve. God bless you, Elder Phillips. He did not give the commandment to Eve, but Adam evidently must have told her. And so Eve had a different thought, take on it. So when the serpent came, that's how he was able to beguile her because of what she said. So that's why it's important for us not to speak. We got to speak the right thing. We got to say the right things over our life. We can't just say anything. We can't be in agreement with everything. So when people are talking negative, I always tell people, don't be in agreement with, don't say, don't do your head, don't do nothing. Just sit there and look real plain. Because you don't want to come into agreement with something somebody is saying that is negative, that is not what God has spoken over your life. Don't do that. When people say stuff, somebody say, well, you getting ready to do this, or, oh, girl, you got to be careful, you don't get the COVID. Well, you know what, if you're not confessing that, then don't let nobody confess it over your life. That's one thing, I'm a stickler about that. I don't let people tell me, oh, you're stubborn, you're this. I don't let people do those kind of things. I say, no, hold on a minute. You don't know me like that. First of all, let's start with that. And so you can't tell me that's who I am because that's not who I am. You got to know yourself, and you got to not let people speak things over your life. Rebuke them. That's what I do. I'll rebuke them. I'll rebuke you in a minute. I sure will. The Bible gives me that authority to do it. And so I will rebuke you in a minute because I'm not going to let you speak anything over my life. And don't you let people speak over stuff over your life. I don't care what they say. Oh, you stupid. Don't say, Hold on. No. Don't do it. Be careful, and then be careful about what you say about yourself. Be careful, because the enemy is always watching. He's watching and he's looking, because it is his job to deceive. It is his job to bring temptation. That is what he's here to do. So we got to be careful about that. And so that's why I was wanting to bring those parts up, and I'm going to get to it. Let's go on down to the – because I talked about the formation of man. We talked about that, and we talked about Adam getting – being the one to receive the command, because Adam got the commandment in verse 16, but Eve didn't come along to verse 20 through 21 through 25. And so it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. And this is Genesis 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man cleave to his father, leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, that and they shall be of one flesh. Now, you know, I ain't never been married. So, but I can look at this scripture. So, you know, cause, and you know, I know a bunch of married people. And so this is the thing. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Stop letting them mother-in-laws get in y'all's business. That's what causes a whole lot of problems in these marriages, because y'all letting the mother-in-laws on either side. Bring them out. Bring them out of the business. And you married to her. The Bible tells you, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It didn't say all the in-laws and all y'all going to be one flesh. He said the wife and the man going to be one flesh. So anyway, I'm going to throw that out there and I'm going to move on. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, because they hadn't eaten off that tree yet. You know, they didn't know all that stuff. So woman was formed after God gave the, okay, so woman was formed after God gave the commandment in the 16th verse. So she received the message from Adam. So that's what I'm saying. We can't receive secondhand news. And so let me say this, what the Bible says about marriage, because, you know, marriage done got all kind of thrown off here. Because, you know, marriage is God's ideal. So when they come out, well, we ain't got to get married, we can just live together. No, that ain't what the Bible say. Marriage is God's ideal. Commitment is essential to a successful marriage. If you can't be committed, then don't get married. You know? Don't be marrying somebody who's ruining their life because you still want to be hoeing around. That ain't how it go. Anyway, and they think she ought to be accepting of that foolishness. Whoever it is, or he ought to be accepting of that foolishness. Because, you know, I when it comes to that, I don't agree with the woman all the time, because, you know, women be cutting up. Women cut up just like the men cut up. So, and we can't just go on saying, well, the men do it. Because, you know, the women always want to blame the men. But, you know, it takes two to tangle in that situation. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say. That's what I get out of it. That's what I've learned anyway. And I talk to a bunch of married people. Anyway, commitment is essential to a successful marriage. Romance is important. I'm not going to do it. Marriage holds times of great joy, and marriage creates the best environment for raising children. Those are some of the good things I want to say about marriage. I'm going to move on from there. And so now we're getting into chapter 3 with the temptation. And so this is where we are in chapter 3. So the temptation says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. So he was upright. He wasn't on the, he wasn't, you know, we think the serpent is a snake, but anyway, he was upright. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was a phrase right there, that touch it one. Neither shall ye touch it. Because when she said that, she knew that she didn't have it all right. So he knew he was in there right there. And so then he said, for God, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here you go. Casting doubt. Here you go with his mess. Here you go. For God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now, it's all right to want to be like Jesus. He ain't telling us not to be like Jesus, but we can't be Jesus. You see what I'm saying? We can't be equal with Jesus. That's not our position. We can't be equal with God. We can be like him, but we're not him. And so that was the problem with Satan. He thought he wanted to be God. He wanted to be over God. So that's why he got put out of heaven. Now, you know what? Now, you can try to be, you can try to take that same stand, but there's a place coming. It's called the lake of fire. You don't want to go there. You got time to get your heart right and get things right. We ain't trying to go there. That's not what we're trying to do. Now, the devil's on his way there, period. He don't have no hope. But you still got hope if you're breathing. Come on here. Come on the Lord's side. That's what they tell me. Come on over here on the Lord's side. That's what we got to do. Whose side are you leaning on? We leaning on the Lord's side, as the song used to say. Anyway. So here we go. And when the woman saw, So here's verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. So Adam was right there. He could say, don't do that. But he didn't say nothing, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so that's why I'm saying it's important for us to know the word of God for ourselves, because if we know the word of God for ourselves, then when the tempter comes, we can be like Jesus and say, no, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then we can say, no, that's not what the word of God said, and our decisions will be better. And we'll know, you know, we'll know that this is the enemy, and we'll be able to discern that, and we'll be able to move. Now, it's up to you what you want to do. Now, you know, we have a choice. God ain't no bully. He ain't making you do nothing. But you have a choice. And so, because like Adam had a choice. He knew what the commandment was. He could have made that choice that moment and said, Eve, I ain't going with you. But he loved Eve. And so he died with his bride that day. And so, and when we talk about death, and like I said, we were talking about it from a physical standpoint and a spiritual standpoint. So the spiritual standpoint, I think they died that day spiritually. And so that's why Christ, God had to make the plan for redemption, because spiritually they had died. And so since the created part was our spirit man, and the created part was our soulish man, so then their souls was in jeopardy. And so then, of course, too, because of that, the physical body began to deteriorate. And so that's how we get the deterioration of that, is because of the death. It has to come to a place for that. And so that's kind of what happened on that when that happened. So anyway, let's go, let's see. Okay, so then, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. This is the Lord looks for Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, he already knew where they were, but anyway. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, we don't want to get to a place where we got to hide from God. We don't want to. Because we want to stay in his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence, there's healing. In his presence, there, you know, we don't want to be in a place of sin that we have to hide from the presence of God. You want to stay in his presence, believe me. You want to stay, and we want to stay in his presence. That's what we want to do. And so, but anyway, they had hid themselves. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he knew where he was. He was making a point. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And this is what the man said. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to thee with me, she gave me and I of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so then the Lord said, the Lord God said, and this is the curse for sin. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat in all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. So here goes the promise right here. Here's the promise of the redemption. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in the sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and thou shalt he shall rule over thee. Now, you know, I remember Bishop Allen teaching this some years and years ago when we was in class with him, and he said, if Adam would have never eaten, if they would have never done that, they would have been able to call the children from the dust of the ground, because that's how they were formed. That's what he used to tell us. I remember he taught that to us. And so, but because of that, she had to go through childbirth. And so that's where we get all of that from. And then, of course, in verses 22 to 24, a man was sent from the garden. He was put out of the garden, and then he was left to do the things on his own. And so so that's verse 3. Where am I at? Mom, oh, no, I ain't number. I probably could have done 4. But anyway, I want to talk about some other things before I do that. We're not done. And so so those were the things. But in that time period, during those times, there was a covenant, and there was there were actually two covenants, because we got covenants and dispensations. And so, but the covenant that was made, this was before they ate from the tree. This was before they ate from the tree. And so it was the Edenic covenant. And although this is after. So let's read about it. Let me talk about the dispensation of innocence first, because I think it comes before, actually, the dispensation of innocence. And so we say, I know people saying, well, what is that? Dispensationalism is a theological framework. It divides history into 7 different periods. So there's 7 dispensations, and I think there's 8 covenants, or dispensations, and describes how God interacts with humanity in each period. The dispensation of innocence is the first and the shortest, and we know why, because of the sin. Each dispensation is said to follow a six-part pattern. For the dispensation of innocence, the pattern is the managers of the dispensation of innocence was Adam and Eve. The time period is the creation of man to man's temptation and fall. The responsibility in this dispensation was for them to obey God. And the failure was the disobedience. They disobeyed God, and that's in Genesis 1, 3 through 6. But in Genesis 1, 26 through 28 and 2, 15 through 17, they were in obedience. And then after that, that's when they went into disobedience. And so the judgment for their disobedience was the curse and death. So that's in 3, 17 through 19. But grace, another chance, and a promise of a redeemer. And so that's when Jesus is promised. He is our redemption. He is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the one that's going to redeem us back to God. And so, but God began to set that in motion even at that time. And he said, and that was really our memory verses 3 and 15. And it says I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And so, and he will bruise thy head and you will bruise his heel. And so that's what he told us. And so that was the dispensation of innocence. It was the period where they were given the opportunity to be obedient to God, but they chose disobedience. And so that is the problem. So when we choose disobedience, it does come with a consequence. And so I know we say, well, Lord, the Lord is a forgiving, he is a forgiving God, and he will forgive you. But it comes with a consequence. And sometimes we have to take those things in consideration. So you got to, when temptation comes, you know, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 10 where it tells us, you know, there is no temptation common unto man that God has not already made a way of escape. Or God gives us a way of escape. When temptation comes, it's not the temptation, it's not coming to any of us, but it is, but God gives us a way of escape, and we have to make a decision that we are going to choose the way of escape and not give in to the temptation. And so at that time, Eve, when she said, touch it, then he knew that she did not fully understand the word of God and the commandment of God, and so he was able to continue to beguile her, because when he gave it to her, so she touched it, she didn't die, right? She touched it, she didn't die, so then she went on and ate of it because nothing had happened in the touch. And so we got to make sure that we are clear about what God's word says, and so that we can be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, because that's his job. He's always in that position. And so that's the thing. And so now let's talk about the Edenic covenant. Let's just go over that. And so this was the covenant for Eden. And so the Edenic covenant had a second part. Let me go back up here. But I don't want to go that far. Edenic covenant is one of many covenants between God and man. In the Bible, the Edenic covenant specifically refers to the covenant made between God and Adam in Genesis. The Edenic covenant was a bilateral or conditional covenant. That is, there was responsibility on both sides. Adam was responsible to obey, and God would bless him with life. If Adam disobeyed and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then death would be the result. And so we all know how the story went. Adam did disobey and broke the Edenic covenant, receiving a punishment of death. He did not die immediately, but he and Eve inherited inherited death and then passed it on to all their offspring. The death continues to this day to be the wages of sin. And so you can look at Proverbs 10 and 16 and Romans 6 and 23. But the Edomic covenant is not specifically called a covenant in the Bible, but also scholars see it as one of the significant covenants between man and God, along with the Abrahamic covenant and everything. We're going to talk about the Edomic covenant on next week because it covers, it's still with Adam, and so we're still talking about that. And we're going to talk about chapters 4 and 5, which we will talk about Adam. We're going to go through, all of them, all of his lineage and his tree before the flood. We're going to talk about from Adam to Noah and just kind of chart out, their life and how, where they are. Adam was 950, so he was alive during a lot of those people that were born. And, of course, we know that Lamech was the one that was Moses' father, and Methuselah was Moses' grandfather. But, however, Lamech even died before Methuselah. But when Methuselah died, he was 969 years old, and, of course, his name meant the coming of many waters. And so we'll get into that. And so we'll talk about that. But I want to talk about those dispensations. I just wanted to hit them because it's a more in-depth study when you talk about them. But the dispensation of Genesis and the Edomic covenant. So those are the two we talked about today. Like I said, there's seven dispensations and eight covenants. And so we talked about the fall of man. And I want to say this, self-exaltation leads to rebellion against God. As soon as we begin to leave God out of our plans, we are placing ourselves above him. This is exactly what Satan wants us to do. You got to keep God in the plan. You got to keep him in the forefront. Matter of fact, I was listening to one of our ministers. She was preaching, the elders, and she was preaching on our last prayer call for the year. And she said, at this point, we've been in close quarters with God during this pandemic. And so she said, at this point, we're always asking God for things, but the Bible tells us that what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I render? What shall I do for you? And so your plan should be the will of God, not your will and wanting God to do your will, but you wanting to do the will of God. And when we say in that, I want to do the will of God, place, we're not exalting ourselves above God, but we are allowing the plan of God, the will of God, to guide us and not us try to guide it because we want to do something different. And so we got to make sure that we don't self-exalt ourselves, but, that we stay in a humble place. Because we got to remember we were made of the dust of the earth. So, and to dust we will go back. And so we got to stay in a humble place. Let us be humble before the God. He said if you would humble yourself before the mighty, under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you. He will exalt you in due time. We don't have to exalt ourselves. We don't have to do that. God will do it. And so we just got to remember those things as we go through. And I'm winding down. I'm trying to get through it. I'm really rude with all I was going to talk about today. But I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Oh, I did put this out there because we were talking about self-exaltation. But Satan misled Eve concerning the right way to accomplish this goal. He told her that she could become more like God by defying God's authority, by taking God's place and deciding for herself that what was the best way for her life. In effect, he told her to become her own God, just like he tried to do. And I think I said that a little in a different way earlier. But to become like God is not the same as trying to become God. And so I think I talked about that earlier, too. We've got to make sure that we're trying to become like God and not become God. Okay, and that means sometimes you can't, sometimes we almost try to take the place in of God in people's lives, and he doesn't want us to do that, too. Sometimes we got to step back and let them go through what they go through because it's for a purpose. It's for our making. Trials and tribulations are for making. They might seem bad, but they make us better. They make us stronger. And so we got to remember that. Don't be trying to be God in nobody's life. That ain't your responsibility. First of all, it's too much for you to bear anyway. Okay? But let's talk about the beginning of the promise of redemption. We were talking about that in chapter 3, and we talked about 3 and 15 when the promise came forth. And so I'm just going to read my note here. talking about this. Okay, what type of death happened? Most theologians note a spiritual death because God put a plan of redemption in place through the death of Jesus and his redemptive work on the cross. So our soul needs to be saved so that we can be have eternal life. And so that's why I took it more so that when he said they should surely die, it was a spiritual death. And so, but then also it did also put in process the deterioration of the physical body as well. And so that's why we have to be careful, because sin can take you out if you allow it. And so here's my note on the life application Bible. He said he could not allow, and let's look at this. Because, you know, when we think about today, the uprising that happened the other day and all of that stuff like that, God didn't let sin go unchecked. And so, you know, because, you know, some of us have such a good heart, and we're like, oh, we don't want, you know, but God didn't let sin go unchecked. If we think about Achan, when he told them not to touch the accursed things, not to bring any of that stuff back from the battle, and he brought the accursed thing back, and what did God do? He opened up that earth and swallowed all of it. He took them all into the earth. That was it. Everybody. He didn't say, well, I'm going to leave little Marion over here, I'm going to leave little JoJo over here, and none of that. All of them went. And so, you know, so we sometimes look at it from a human perspective, and our hearts are good, and that's wonderful. But God did not leave sin unchecked. And so for us to think that the uprising last week needs to be unchecked, no, it needs to be checked. And so remember, God is in control, so he's going to check it. So just be clear, he's going to check it. Because you went that way, then you got to get checked. That's how he goes. He checks sin. So we got to remember that. And so when sin happens, God checks it. And so even in our own lives, he checks us too. He will check us. If we do the wrong thing, he'll check us. So we got to remember that. And so he said he could not allow sin to go unchecked. He had to punish it. So when he gave out those punishments to Adam and Eve and the consequences for the sin, it may seem extreme, but remember, there's sins that in motion, the world's tendency toward disobeying God. They set that thing in motion. That is why we sin today, every human being ever born, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has inherited a sinful nature of Adam and Eve. Go to Romans 5:12-21. So Adam and Eve's punishment reflects how seriously God views sin of any kind. And so from that point on, God put in motion a plan of redemption, and we'll talk about that more and more. So the 3 and 15 is the first messianic promise, promising that Christ is on, that Christ is coming. And Christ in the bodily form. Christ was already there. The Bible says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And he's talking about Jesus Christ at that time. And so we know that Jesus was there because Jesus said, he said, I saw Satan fall from as lightning. So he was there. He was there the whole time. You know, they sing, he was there all the time. You know, the song anyway. I ain't going to sing it because my voice is so hoarse anymore. But anyway, the promise of redemption. And we had a promise. And thank God for the promise that he promised us to redeem our soul back to him. Christ fulfills through his victory over Satan the wonderful promise here spoken about the redemption of our souls. And so I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, we're getting toward the end, and so I'm thankful that for those that join me, those that will listen later, those will listen to the broadcast later. We're going to be on Genesis 4 and 5 on next week, and so we're going to keep walking through. This is my assignment, and I'm going to keep on with it. And so whether anybody listens or not, this is what he told me to do, and so this is what I'm going to do, because we need to know the Word of God, and we need to understand the Word of God and the dynamics of it all and how it all fits together. And I know we read our Bible, so this ain't for you. This ain't for you Bible scholars. This is for those that don't know the Word of God. This is foundational teaching. And so that is who it is for, but it's always a reminder for those of us that know the Word of God to be refreshed in it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. So if there's anybody out there under the sound of my voice that does not know the Lord in the pardon of your sin, this is an opportunity for you to accept him as your Savior. The Bible says that, you know, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, that you shall be. So if you believe that today, you shall be saved. And if you say, Lord, I am a sinner, save me. Deliver me from my sin. Lord, I believe that God has raised you from the dead. And, Lord, I believe you that you are my Redeemer. Save me today. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So I believe if you prayed that prayer, some version of it, the full Lord, and gave your life to the Lord today, I believe you're saved. Welcome to the family. And so we believe that God is welcome. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over one soul that comes to Christ. And so we believe that God has will bless you, find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that will be able to continue on your journey with him so that you can be all that you can be in Christ. And so we're so thankful for everybody that joined me today. We're just so blessed by it, so blessed by those that support me. I'm so thankful for all of that, just thankful, thankful, thankful. So let's see, what is it? We're going to be on here, like I said, next week talking about Genesis 4 and 5. We're going to look at those patriarchs and all of that. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about Cain and Abel and all of that going on, the first murders, a lot of firsts in the book of Genesis. So that's why when they say there is nothing new under the sun, there is nothing new under the sun. It's been going on for a long time, and so we know that. So anyway, thank God so for each and every one of you that joined me on today, those of you that will listen to the broadcast later, and we thank God for you. And I hope that I said something that, you know, there's nothing new news to you, or you learned something, or you confirmed something, or something like that. But we're so thankful for it. Oh, I had one more note. Okay, this is in Genesis 3 and 15. It says, the promise that the seed, the descendant of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent, Satan, is the first messianic promise, prophecy of the Bible. No specific details are given, only the promise that a human being descending from the line of the woman would finally triumph over Satan. So this is why we had the virgin birth, because it was coming from the line of the woman. So we had the virgin birth, and if you look at Matthew's genealogy, that's from Joseph's lineage. But if you look at in Luke, I believe it is, that lineage is coming from Mary. And so you can see how it comes down that line from Mary. So Luke's version is Mary's lineage. Matthew's version is Joseph's lineage. And so, but they all came through David. See what I'm saying? And so that's how that goes. So the promise finds its fulfillment in the incarnation of the birth of Christ. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so because of the virgin birth, there was not a man, that she was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And so because of that, that's why it says the seed of the woman. And that's why it says that, because the seed of the woman is the virgin birth. And so that's what it was telling us. So that's even prophetic, if you think about it in that sense. So when he says that in Genesis 3 and 15, he was saying that it would come through that the woman, the seed of the woman, would bruise his heel, because it was talking about the virgin birth. And so there is what that said. And so thank you, Lord, for that. And then let's see if there's anything else, any other little thing I had on here that we need to talk about. I think that is it. I had so many notes. Ooh, I'll be having a whole bunch of notes down, and I'll be thinking, oh, God, help me. But anyway, so in our memory verse, of course, was, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. This was the memory verse. And it shall bruise thy head and thy heel. So anyway, I kept it over in my mind anyway. And then, of course, our prayer was to pray, just to pray a prayer to be humble. To know that we are from dust of earth, so don't be such a much, because you dust like everybody does. We all came from the dust of the earth, and so for dust we'll go back. So just pray that you continue to be humble and never think of yourself to be better than anyone else, because we are all God's people. And so he loves us all equally. He don't love us differently. He don't love so-and-so more than he loves you. No, he loves us. God bless you all, and we'll see you back here next week on the Prophets and Souls podcast. God bless you.
Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.